Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 1 as we get ready to study Proverbs. The book of Proverbs will be where we're taking our passages from the next few weeks. 2 weeks ago we finished 2nd and 3rd John, then Jeremy did part 2 of What World View Do You Have last week while Wendy and I were gone down in Utah. But it didn't get recorded. So you're a special group. You're the only ones that got to hear it. But tonight we're going to study the book of Proverbs, and we last taught it on Sunday mornings back in 2012. And as a lead-in, Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, he was King David's son. And again, it's just amazing. One of the things I notice in the Bible is how many times Satan has tried to destroy or alter the plan of God. And God had told David that Solomon was to be the son who would reign. Well, Solomon was not his oldest son. And the oldest son had been killed by his half-brother Absalom. And then there was another son, Adonijah, who he thought, you know, I should be king. Why should God's will for this country be what rules, rather than my will, which is for me to rule? And see, everybody knew that God, through the prophet Nathan and others, had said that Solomon was the son by which the throne of David would be passed to. But Adonijah was going against it under inspiration of Satan, and he's just stirring the people up, getting the people's hearts towards him like his half-brother Absalom had done, and the nation was ready to go that way. And Nathan the prophet and Bathsheba, his wife, who had become his wife through an adulterous relationship that David had with her when she was married to Uriah the Hittite. David had Uriah the Hittite killed by sending him into telling Joab, the general of his army, to go send Uriah into the heat of battle and pull foolishly into a heat of battle in a foolish way that would allow him to get killed. So basically David murdered because Bathsheba had become pregnant through their adulterous fling in the night. And so David added sin upon sin. But then what happens is he repents. Nathan the prophet says, "You have sinned against God." And you can read all about it in 2 Samuel. And David repented, Psalm 51. He repented. And what we learn from the fact that God chose David's wife Bathsheba's son Solomon to be the one to follow in the throne of his father David's, follow David by taking his throne. Imagine that. Because the grace and mercy of God by forgetting their sin as soon as they repent. Isn't that an awesome thing? But see, his brother, his half-brother, Adonijah, didn't care about that. And so he tried to usurp the throne, and then by the intervention of the prophet and Bathsheba going to David and telling David, if you don't do what's right, if you don't do something right now to let the nation know you want Solomon to be king like God has told you is supposed to happen, if you don't do what's right, then I'll be killed, your son Solomon will be killed, Nathan will be killed, everybody will be killed that wants to do what's right. And so King David, who is old and decrepit about to die, he did what was right. And so here's the lesson, before we even get into the real lesson of Proverbs. Had David not done what was right when he was worn out, fought his entire life, fought against the devil and about all the deceptions and everything was trying to keep him from getting onto the throne, keep him out of the throne after he got on the throne, fought, and he was tired. He just didn't want to fight again, didn't want to fight with his family again. And yet, had he not fought, we wouldn't be here today. You know, and see, everything would have changed. Except, can you change what God had already seen to happen? So, and see, the thing is it's okay for us to encourage people to do what's right. We saw Bathsheba and Nathan going to David and saying, you've got to do what's right, and stirred up his courage to do what was right, and that's what prevailed. We're living in a time where people are choosing to do what is wrong. People are wanting to usurp the throne of Jesus. They want to be the Lord of their own life. They want to do their own thing. They want to push God out. And we're here to try and encourage them to do what's right. And for us as brothers and sisters to do what's right, because this world is just hounding us with all the lusts of the world. And we can be in each other's loving face to say, let's do what's right, because things will change if we don't. And God's called us to do what's right. So we see that David did make Solomon king. And 1 Kings chapter 3, God gifted Solomon. And we're not going to go to 1 Kings 3. You're in 1 Kings 11. I'm just going to say, 1 Kings 3 says, you know, Solomon's a young man. He becomes king. And God says, what do you want? And Solomon says, I want wisdom. I need wisdom. You've made me the king of this great nation. And God says, oh, I'll give you wisdom. Since you didn't ask for the death of your enemies and you didn't ask for riches and stuff, I'm going to give you wisdom and riches. 1 Kings chapter 10, Solomon was visited by the Queen of Sheba. His wisdom was so profound that God had given to him that the whole world knew. Man, there's a man and a king on this world, on this planet, named Solomon, who lives in Israel, in Jerusalem, reigns from Jerusalem. And if you go to him, you can ask whatever question there is, and you're going to get the answer. Can you imagine the kind of wisdom? He knew everything about plants, about animals. He had infinite, almost like all the wisdom that God gave him, because God created everything. And people were just going to him. He was the international library. Only he didn't learn it. He was given that knowledge by God himself. And yet, knowledge, apart from a heart, can lead to great failure. And so we're going to read the Proverbs, which are the wisdom of God, written by a man who himself didn't do what it says. And that's our lesson here. Because it's a lesson for me, especially. Here I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. But it doesn't do any good to tell you what the Word of God says. It doesn't do any good for you to listen to what the Word of God says if we don't, along with that, place it into our heart and let it rule our own life under all the different temptations and stresses that are there. So 1 Kings chapter 11, this is after chapter 10. And by the way, Solomon, when he was visited by Queen of Sheba, there's strong extra-biblical historical evidence that he had a child with her. So when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, stayed for a while, and there's strong evidence that there was a child that came out of that relationship, which is why Ethiopia has a strong Jewish and Christian history to it. And you can go research that. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was his first wife, and was he supposed to marry Pharaoh's daughters? According to the law of God, he was not supposed to. And by the way, he marries Pharaoh's daughter by making an alliance with him and then marrying his daughter before he asked for wisdom, and God gives it to him. So again, I can see God just saying, what do you mean, ask for wisdom? I gave you the law of Moses, and the law of Moses says don't marry foreign women. And you just did, and now you're asking for wisdom, and we're going to see how this plays out in James. We're going to go to James here in a minute. But just keep this in mind. It doesn't do any good to read wisdom if we don't do wisdom. If I ask God for wisdom, then he's going to say, okay, here it is. And, oh, well, I don't want that wisdom, and I don't want that wisdom, and rip this page out and this page out, because that's not the kind of wisdom I want. And then God, okay, knock yourself out. And that's what we're going to see happens to Solomon. King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, all in Jordan, not supposed to marry them, enemies of Israel, historically contrary to the, full of idolatry, contrary and fought against the God of Israel, fought the Jews, Sidonians, Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord hath said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And really, did he cling to them in love? No. I mean, it's a misnomer. I mean, it's what the Bible says. But what was it? What kind of love was it? It was eros love, erotic love. It was lust love, where the kind of love that comes with Jesus, agape love, is self-sacrificing love. If he would have had self-sacrificing love, he would have left them all in Moab, Ammon, Edom. He would have left them in Egypt. He would say, no, you can come into the nation of Israel, become a Jew because you love the God of Israel and his laws. Then we can get married, but not if you're going to be idol worshippers. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart, for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Now, you know, it's, to me, it says, when his heart was old. Well, he married all these women when he was younger. You know, it takes a while to marry 700 wives, 300 concubines. So, and you know what I think he was thinking, you know, I'll convert this one. How many Christian women say, I'll marry him, he's so wonderful, I'm going to marry him and convert him when I get married? Or how many guys say, oh, you know, she doesn't love the Lord, but I'll marry her and get her to know the Lord. I can handle it, and see what happens is he wears down. He wears down over time, and he says, okay, honey, I'll build you a little idol. You can worship your different idols because that's what you want to do. For Solomon went after the Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. Now, these are all the gods. When it says the abomination of Moab, Moab's chief god was Chemosh, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So he got worn down with whatever conviction he had, and he let them all have the gods they wanted to do right there in Israel, right there in Jerusalem. And it corrupted the nation of Israel. Verse 9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And it commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12:12, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And what happened? Solomon, when he dies, his son Rehoboam takes over. And Rehoboam tells the people, you think my dad taxed you bad, you just wait. I'm going to have Lois Lerner sicked on you, and you're going to be taxed even more. And the people said, forget you. And so there was civil war, and they started slaughtering each other, and hundreds of thousands of Jews, really, if you look at both sides, died in the ensuing civil war. And really what God said is, because the consequence of Solomon turning to idols separated the people and their loyalty to the sons of David. And had Solomon stayed true and kept idolatry out, you wouldn't have had the demonic influences of the nation to get people into immorality. And you wouldn't have had the struggle of tribes against tribes because there's no loyalty to the God of Israel. Once again, as the verse says, come let us serve the Lord together. See, if we serve the Lord together, the closer we get to the Lord, the closer the family of God gets. See, if everybody in a church just wants to love Jesus, get more in love with Jesus, we're all going to love one another more and more. As soon as somebody comes off with their own agenda like Solomon had, then you create strife and things fall apart. So Ecclesiastes 12:12, I'm going to just say my opinion is Solomon might be there in heaven even although this happened, because Ecclesiastes is a book that records Solomon frustrated with his own life. I built everything imaginable with all the wealth that God had given me, and I realized it's all vanity because I'm giving it to my kids. And I look around and yeah, that's vanity. That they don't have the wisdom that I have. And I tried pleasure. I did everything I could to increase my pleasure. It's all emptiness. It's all vanity. He goes through his whole life and it's just vanity. Everything's vanity. Gets to the very end of Ecclesiastes. which I think is at the very end of his life. And he says, and further, my son, you know, the sons that would listen to him and to us, consider yourself a son or daughter in this. And further, my son, daughter, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter of his life, everything that had happened in his life, all of his studying, all of his wisdom. He comes down to this. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Isn't that something? And that has really changed my life. I've seen so many people going after books. Gavin, you read this. And books that help me understand the Bible, I love. I love commentaries that go verse by verse. I love biblical, you know, maps and history that talks about archaeology books that Scott lent me a little while ago. I love reading things that help me fall in love and understand this in the history. But today in the bookstores, there's, as I've said so many times, there's so much garbage. It's just like, here's a Christian book to Chemosh. Here's a Christian book to Milcom. Here's a Christian book to all these gods of the nations around us that are leading people astray away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people don't even know what the Bible says anymore. And we should be, you know, Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, put all the books down and go fear God and keep his commandments. That is the end matter of everything that we should do. Let's turn to James chapter 1 verse 2. I alluded to this passage earlier. And some people question whether Proverbs can be inspired because Solomon was such a sinner. And isn't it amazing? God uses even sinners. Isn't that good that he does? Because otherwise there'd be no Bible. Because he used Moses, didn't he, to write Genesis? Was Moses a sinner? Yes. On and on. See, God can use us even though we're sinners. He promised Solomon, I am going to give you wisdom. The wisdom that's recorded in Proverbs is good, but we need to actually do it. Solomon did not. Imagine writing a book on wisdom that you don't do what it says. James chapter 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's a troublesome verse for all of us. You know, that if we should count it joy when we fall into various trials. And God tells us why. God brings troubles into our life to help make us die to self. That's really what it's saying. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let it have its complete work in you. And I don't think it's a mistake that right after that it says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Because the trials that come into our life that are causing us to die to the flesh is really causing us to die to the lack of wisdom. Because our flesh is lack of wisdom. Everything that we do with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, that we can try and whitewash and paint is being, well, you know, that's okay. I can be a Christian and do, you know, have these kind of lusts and this and that. No, God's going to discipline his children to the point where we're letting each one of those things go in our life. All sin is lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And he's going to use trials to get us to die to that, to test our faith, and to produce patience in him and waiting for him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And that's Solomon. God, give me wisdom. Okay, I'll give your wisdom to your head, and like everybody that's ever lived, you're going to have to apply it to your heart. And Solomon didn't apply it to his heart. So he still had the head, and the head went to the hands, and he wrote Proverbs, but because he didn't apply it to his heart, he lived a horrible life in many ways. Must have been terrorizing, especially when he reached the end of his life, and my family's a mess, my kids are going to kill each other. Just like David's son Absalom tried to kill David, and all this stuff in my life, I've corrupted the country because they're all worshiping these idols that I've allowed my wives to bring into the country. He must have been terrorized with what had happened because he didn't apply the wisdom we're going to read in Proverbs to his own life. So when we ask God for wisdom, then we should be looking for it here. And if we see it here in the Bible, in the Word of God, and we say, man, but I don't want to do that, then God will say, okay, let the trials continue. Yeah, until we get it, the trials will continue. Sometimes in ways that we don't even understand until the Lord just finally reveals it to us when we figure it out. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Amazing book. Many people say that if nothing else, you know, I don't do it since I've been making a habit to read through the Bible and actually commentary while I'm doing so, writing to my grandchildren while I do so. But before that, it's really healthy. If you're not going to do that, then at least read Proverbs once a month. You know, one proverb a day keeps the demons away, is what some people will say. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, young woman too. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma. Enigma is a difficult to understand. Are we living in a time where it's difficult to figure out what is going on or what I'm supposed to do? Like never before. The words of the wise and their riddles. A list of everything that's prudent for a man or a woman to aspire to. But these can only be found in God. See, people that are in the world today, what are they even trying to achieve? It used to be a virtuous thing to try and achieve wisdom. Just wisdom for life. And even that seems to be, in my evaluation of what's going around, it just seems like people don't even care about having wisdom. But if we are, and we're required to, as children of God, to gain the wisdom of God, we can aspire to these things, but it can only be found in God and His Word. I can't aspire to them without knowing what He has said. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And like I just said, can't have a healthy fear of God if we don't know who God is. We can't know who God is unless we read His Word. And then when we read His Word, we must fear God, not man. Why? Because we better have that attitude. Fear God, not man. Why? Because nearly everybody around us doesn't care what this says. They do not care what the Word of God says. In fact, in their mind, they've been deceived by Satan so bad as we're reaching the last days, the kingdom of the Antichrist, and the world's going to be embracing Satan, worshiping Satan, according to the Bible and Revelation. The whole world's going to be worshiping Satan. And Satan is the arch enemy and completely contrary to everything in the Word of God. God says, don't commit adultery. Satan says, commit adultery. Don't murder. Satan says, murder. On and on and on. And so for us to be saying, I want the wisdom of God and I want to fear God, fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So I'm going to gain my knowledge as a Christian by studying the Word of God. The fools are going to despise. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So therefore, fools despise you. So it's no surprise that we're even seeing it in the media. Because God haters are in charge of the media. God haters are in charge of education. God haters are in both sides of the aisle, in Washington and state and everything else. And so when we speak the wisdom of God, It's right side up, hits their brains, and Satan's deceived their minds to where they see that's the evil. You speak good, they hear evil. And they don't understand why when they speak evil, we don't hear good. They think it should work both ways. Because, you know, we're using the definition of what evil is. So we like no other time in history, have got to fear God more than man. And like my friend Mark Dinsmore's webpage, which he's a neat brother, he made the website name feargodnotgov.com. And he's posting articles to emphasize, to keep a biblical perspective of some of the things that are happening in national politics. And then it says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. A graceful ornament on your head. What was that in his day? The crown. And chain around your neck. Wealth. Power and wealth. If you listen to the word of God, well, do we get a crown? Do we get to be king or president or whatever? No, but what gets laid down at the foot of Jesus by, you know, the 24 elders? You know, we're getting a crown that the world doesn't see. We get a crown of being an adopted child of God and one of his kids. What a blessing it is if a child has a believing father and mother who raises their children in the love and admonition of the Lord. It's the goal of every parent. I encourage all the families on Sunday to, you know, if your kids are getting close to being out of school and stuff, maybe start a book of prayers. Hopefully they're doing it at home. What's your guess of by the time American children in Christian homes, Christian quotation marks, go to church, take religion seriously, that their children have been told, we're going to go through the Proverbs once a year, or even once in their lifetime before they graduate in high school. What do you think? Think it's a high percentage or a low percentage? I would think in this day and age, it's a low percentage, and that's in the Christian homes. And yet, what does it say? It says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. How much instruction is happening in the fathers of this country? This verse convicted me so much when I was a pew sitter, before being a pastor. I was going, wait a second. My sons are like 13 years old. My oldest is 13. And man, I mean, if I were to go real quick, it'd take me five. If I dedicated one night, Sunday night, to teach my kids, I went 10 chapters a night. Every Sunday night I did 10 chapters. Then 5 years from now, when they're graduating from high school, I could have taught them the whole Word of God. That's what we're going to do. Sunday night is off limits for everything else. We're going to have a time here in the house, and we're going to teach. I'm going to teach you so I can say when you're out the door, I've given you the entire Word of God. You can do with it what you want, but you're going to have it. It lasted 3 years, then we started the church. So it went a little bit slower, so it wasn't the whole thing. But that convicted me. You know, God, give me wisdom how to raise my children. Here it is. I tell you that it's a blessing if a father raises his children in the Word of God. And then what are we going to do with it? My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Man, think about what all the parents should be telling their kids today. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Back then, how would you be enticed? In Solomon's day, what was the enticement that they could get into? Huh? Yeah, get into women. And, you know, again, all the idolatry. But, I mean, it was... What were the kids doing in those days? It was... They were working all day long to survive. They were milking the cows, the sheep, the goats, doing the crops, everything else they had. They had to do that or they die. It was pretty simple back then. It was going to be difficult. Today, what does the average kid have time to do today? Lots of time. Mom, you know, going to get me a movie? You know, entice. The kids say, hey, you know, my kids at school, they said that I really should watch this movie. It's rated R and it's full of perversion. I want my movie. It used to be, I didn't want my oatmeal when I was a kid. Or what was the kid that, huh?
Maple.
I didn't want my maple. That was the big kid rebellion when we were kids. It was some cereal. Stupid. It just blew into my mind. I want my DVD. I want my concert. I want to go to Ariana Grande. Didn't even know about her until yesterday or day before, whenever the bombing happened in England. And so I did a little quick look, and oh, yeah. And as Jeremy said, Jeremy was telling me, Kevin, you know what the real disaster is that all those parents were letting their girls go to this lady that is a horrible role model for a living. That, I mean, sending their souls to hell. The terrorist wasn't the guy that blew up the place. The terrorists were the parents who were sending their kids to spiritual demise of immorality and glorification of... She was raised a Catholic. This is what Wikipedia said. You go to the very end of her long accomplishments, and you get the fact she was raised a Catholic, but she abandoned Catholicism because of the Catholic Church stance on LGBT. And how she's an advocate of LGBT and has written songs to the same effect and stuff. She's a God-hater. She hates God's law. She hates his ways. And all these children are just flocking and mesmerized. Millions of kids just listening to this stuff. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Video games. Today, Jeremy called me in the office. He goes, Kevin, you got to see this. And it was a YouTube clip. And you can search on this. Search on it. They took his video games away. And the first hit is this kid. And I mean, if it's not a demon speaking out of him, man, I don't know. It's this kid who had just gotten his games taken away, and the parents are videoing, and they're laughing because they don't understand what they're up against. They're up against the demon. And this kid just goes off on his parents. I would have recorded it for you, except it's profanity. Threatens them. I'll kill you, all this, all that, everything. He took my games away. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Porn. My son, if sinners, the kids in school say, tell your parents that you're going to come over to our house, but actually we're going to go over here and we're going to have some immorality. We're going to do this, do that. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If the whole world, the school system, everything in the curriculum, everything in the books reprograms your mind into being a progressive, globalist, LGBT, supporting communist, socialist mindset, then do not consent. And how do you do that today? How do you not consent when you have to get a grade? You have everybody, all your peers are putting the pressure on you. It's near impossible. And social media. Oh, man. Can you imagine the wisdom that our children need today to have a fear of God as they get into adulthood? And, you know, I mean, this might sound depressing. Am I overstating the concern? And that's why I've told the congregation more than once, it's a miracle if your children survive, if you're doing everything that you can to try and minister the truth to them. It's perilous times, as Jesus warned would be the case in the last days. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, which is hell, holding place of the dead. Let's just send them to hell. Let's kill them. And whole, like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us and let us all have one purse. We'll share the take. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Is that happening today? Look at all the gangs. I mean, you have massive gang warfare in the major cities of America today, and this is how they live. come now, come and join us. We're going to go hit those people. You know, we're going to rob their houses. We're going to steal their cars again. Like last week, these three guys, they jump into a car. Oh, there's a kid in the back seat. They take the car and then they go and shoot the 6-year-old in the back seat. You didn't hear about that? And the picture, I forgot where I was reading this. I think it was when we were down in Utah. Did I see it there? I can't remember. Anyway, when I saw the news, however I saw it, the picture that went along with the news, I think it was on Fox, actually, the website. And you see the woman, the mom, being carried by her relatives and stuff because she is absolutely hysterically can't even function. Because she left the car running, went for a quick trip into the grocery store to then come back out, and while she's in there, she sees the car and she tries, and for hours, it's like, please, just, you know, wherever, anybody knows what's going on, they finally find the car and tell her, I'm sorry, but your son has been shot. How could that happen? You just even, the vilest, the most wicked, you would think, would just, like everybody was saying, why didn't they just let him out on the side of the road? Why didn't they take him to a church? Why didn't they take him to a store? Why didn't they do something? No, they had to. They were filled with the evil that the non-wise, the God-haters, that's what they do. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. A bird's not stupid to go into what they know is going to bring their death. Now those three guys, what do you think they should have realized? And by the way, they got caught. Now they're all arrested for murder. And that's, I can't even imagine that they would survive being in jail or prison with the criminals there knowing what they did. They might kill them. And they would know that. If we pop a 6-year-old kid in the back of the seat, just think that's not going to end well no matter what. They're going to hunt us down until they find us. And yet they are so stupid, they're more stupid than a bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Amen. And look at that. See, those guys are going to die. They're going to die someday. They lost their lives. They'll never, ever get out of jail. If they do, somebody's going to take care of them. They're some young men. Just, look like 20, maybe even less. And they should have known that was going to happen. They should have read Proverbs. Somebody should have sat them down and read them the Proverbs and said, when people start saying, join this gang, let's go steal cars, let's do this, let's do that, put a little fear of God into you because it will save your life. But they didn't want to save their life. They didn't want to listen to the wisdom of God. And we have to be telling our children, grandchildren, I do, I just so fear for my grandchildren. Some of them have already been gobbled up by the world. And it's destructive. It's unbelievable what it does. And, we've got a battle. So we have to do what we can and give them the Word of God and show them. Look at what happens when that happens. When I grew up, there was still the fear of God in the land. And so when my buddies were kicking it up a notch saying, Kevin, I landed this job at this hotel, and I've got the master key, and we can do this and this. And he sits down and he plans how we can go and hit the people, the businessmen and other things coming in. And you know what? I was a pagan. I was totally lost. But it was God. It was God saying that conscience that God gives to all of us, it says, saying, you don't want to go there. And if I had fluffed that off, if I had said, no, who are you telling me I'm not going to go there? We could make some big money. Yeah, I'm in with you. But no. In fact, it actually, as I was realizing the people I was hanging around with, when the Navy said that they would give me three meals a day and give me an education. I was thinking, you know, the voice was saying, get out of here. Get out of here because you'll die here. You'll get deeper and deeper. You won't keep saying no to these guys. You'll go with them. And then you'll die. So get into the Navy, and I didn't hear this part, and I'm going to have some people tell you about Jesus, and you're going to get switched around. One of the guys that was the big drug guy that was my roommate for a little while, and it was really tragic, too, because he got arrested. He spent some time in the local jail, and I go off into the Navy. I come back. He's out. He tells me, when I was on leave, he tells me that, and I've become a Christian, and he tells me that some people in jail also told him about Jesus, and he was really starting to think about reading the Bible and everything, and I'm encouraging him, Matlock, that's what you need to do. You need to get your mind into Jesus and stuff. And then some friends from high school sent me and later on, when he and I get married and we're in Hawaii, and I get a letter from some people I went to high school with a newspaper clip, Bob Matlock shot in Texas with a drug deal gone bad. And you know how tragic, because he didn't listen. He didn't listen. He knew he was in trouble. Everybody knew he was a drug dealer at school. Everybody was on to him. He ended up in jail for a short period of time. Gets the Bible, got me. Jesus sent me to talk to him. You need to gain wisdom. Nope, drugs, money, whatever was more important. So, let that not be any of us. I mean, because even as Christians, we can be stupid, right? We can go off, be like Solomon, and be stupid. But the Bible says, don't think you're going to get away with it. You go away from the wisdom of God, and horrible things can happen to our lives. And we've seen it happen. Many pastors, many Christians, many have lost their witness because they didn't listen to the wisdom of God. Father, we thank you for your word. God, help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers. Help us, Lord, to let the Holy Spirit whisper strongly into our ears and turn our hearing aids all the way up in this time where there is so much chatter of the world that's trying to come in and vie for our attention. Help us, God. And help our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, children that are growing up in this incredibly deceptive world, that they would be set free from the lies and the deceptions that are there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
One blessing is, as the world gets uglier and uglier, it's easier to cast our eyes on Jesus, right? Look full in his face and say, man, he's coming. He's coming. He's going to get us out of here. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again. In Jesus' name, amen.